very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. We're with you right through until 12 midday, but at 11 o'clock today, we are going to our radio drama, which is called One Day. It's life in a radio station, and it's brilliant, and it's super, and it's funny, and it's great crack, and it's just amazing. Written by the talented Ollie Turner, and engineered by the talented Matthew. And Matthew Lyons, so well done to all involved in it. We're going to give it to you just after the 11 o'clock news, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, though, last Friday morning of the programme, I told you we were getting emails and texts in relation to a shooting which took place on Thursday night in broad daylight. Now, this video footage has circulated over the weekend of shots being fired inside a Galway housing estate as a gang of masked men attacked a house. The incident took place in the west of the city on Thursday evening last, where locals could only watch on in fear as gunshots echoed around the area where several young children were playing. The shooting gang were also armed with a machete-type weapon and were seen running from cars, exiting the vehicles and getting in and getting out. As many as six men in balaclavas can be seen during the horrifying incident, with cars coming from all sides into the housing estate. The west of the city has become the crime capital of Galway in the last year, following several reports of pipe bombs being discovered in that area. Local city councillor John Connolly said, "It's a sad and disappointing to see an incident occur in this brilliant community. They've done a lot of work recently with the council to try to develop a community garden there, and it's so disappointing that things like this can occur. It's not nice to see." And Councillor Connolly, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith.
Yeah, I was made aware of the videos yesterday evening, and I looked at them last night. They're absolutely shocking. I don't want to play them because there's voice in the background that can be identified fairly handy, but you can quite clearly see people with balaclavas in a white car doing what they did.
Yeah, they are shocking, Keith. There's no doubt about it. And you've mentioned there about, I'm not sure. I think you may be reading from a media report from one of the papers that described the city or the area of the city as such. But look, it is the third such occasion in recent months where a firearm has been discharged within the western suburbs in all in different estates. And it's not nice and it's unsavoury. And, you know, there is always the risk here, Keith, that there would be a potential, victim of such an assault. But again, maybe potentially an innocent victim, somebody who had no involvement in the activity, who was minding their own business, but happened to be just unlucky enough to be in a certain situation at a certain time. The other thing, Keith, that the video clearly shows is, you know, these cars entering and exiting the estate at high speed, which is also poses a great danger to the community and potentially, of course, again, to young children who might be playing on the street. So, look, we don't want to see any more of this. And I'd hope that however it comes about, we will see no more such activity within any part of the city.
But I mean, I'm just looking at the videos here again. You can see men in shorts going to a white car. You can see other people coming and shouting as well. And grown men, and then they run away, and then they jump out of the white car and somewhere else with guns and otherwise. And you can hear the crack of the gun going off. I don't care whether it's an imitation gun or otherwise, but certainly there was a number of shooting sounds on both the videos that I've seen.
There's clearly one shooting sound. Now, I suppose when I spoke to a guard on Friday, he said like that the reports of a shot having been fired were unconfirmed. It's difficult to stand over that now because, again, the video seems to infer clearly that there is the noise would replicate what you might think you would hear when a gun is fired. So it does seem that there was a firearm discharge. As I said, it's the third such occasion that I can recall in recent months, and I think there may have been a further one in the city centre. And it's a new departure for the city. I would have always said, Keith, that, you know, the community that we lived in was a relatively safe one and that there weren't very significant levels of crime. I've just become more concerned about that in the last 3 or 4 months with these incidents and with other things that are occurring as well. And I think that we need as communities to stand together. We need to stand particularly with the community that suffered this incident last Thursday evening. Make them aware that, you know, we support them. I'd ask anybody, Keith, who either was involved in the incident or as a result of this incident might be planning further such incidents to resist that and to desist that. And I would say to them, and I would implore and plead that they would contact local Gardaí and bring any evidence that they have about what happened here to the attention of local Gardaí. and trying so far to make sure that we resolve the issue through the appropriate means and channels.
But I mean, Constan Connolly, with all due respect, and you've seen the videos that I've seen as well, I mean, why would 4, 5, 6 grown men, whatever amount there were, I can see 4, 5, I think it is, why would they put balaclavas on and go into a housing estate? They weren't up to any good, let's say. They weren't going to a birthday party or otherwise.
No, they were clearly, they attended there without invitation, yeah. I think it's safe to say, Keith.
Yeah.
And their intentions were not positive. They weren't to enhance that community. And, you know, it's also difficult to think, Keith, that it was a random attack. It seemed to be planned. It seemed to be premeditated. And my fear arising out of that, Keith, is that there will be something else planned or something else that would be premeditated,
but it seems
in retribution or revenge. And I would say to anybody who might be considering that course of action now, please do not proceed on those bases. This will not end well if such activity is allowed to go on. And I would say to them, engage with the Gardaí. You know, these things, I think these things can be resolved through the appropriate channels. I think the Gardaí are proactive. I know that there was a Garda presence in that area for the remainder of the evening after that incident. And I would implore that there would be no more activity like this within our communities.
But again, you're putting communities at risk here. But you're also putting members of an Garda Síochána Síochána at risk over what seems to be some kind of a feud between two groups. So why? I mean, if I was a member of an Garda Síochána Síochána, would I like to be sitting in that estate that night, making sure that nothing else happened? I don't think.
Well,
I think
we all. I think we all owe a debt of gratitude to members of Garda Síochána Síochána. It's a very difficult role.
Yeah.
So it is. And as I said to you, Keith, you're right. Like they did maintain a presence in that area following the incident. And I think there's going to be a Garda presence required. And I wouldn't like to think of you know, of a loved one that I would, might know or care for being put in that position as a member of the Gardaí. You know, and again, it's difficult. It's a difficult role. It's a very difficult job. And they can only be commended for the work they do in the community. But we are going to need, I suppose, as a community to support the Gardaí on this as well. And that's why I would say, if you have any information, If there's anybody out there who might have any information about what happened, about what occurred that generated this incident, or, you know, worse, that you might have some information about what could occur into the future, please contact the Gardaí. And you will find that they will be very, that you know, they will work to help and assist communities.
Yeah, I do, by the way, take back the statement that I made. I was just reading from a brief that I have. Like, the west of the city has become a crime capital of Galway. I take that back. It's a small minority of people that are giving this the publicity and the oxygen that it's getting today. It's a handful of people that have no respect for themselves, their families or others. They were up to something. Again, I don't know the housing. I know the housing estate. I'm not naming it. I don't know the various houses that were targeted. Is it drugs related, do you reckon, Councillor Connolly?
Really, I can't say. But unfortunately, Keith, I had a reason to have a conversation recently with a member of an Garda Síochána regarding another incident. And unfortunately, it does seem, and I think we hear this a lot, but it does seem to be the case now that there is a prevalence of drugs in our community. And again, I don't want to frighten people.
But it's in every community. It's not just the west side.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's
in Ballyban.
Evidently, it's throughout the country.
Mount Bellew, it's
throughout
everywhere.
The country, Keith, yeah. We heard, you know. And I think parents need to be aware of that, Keith. I had a phone call recently from a parent who had some concerns about the behaviour that her own son was becoming engaged in, and she was very proactive about it. And we need parents to be aware of the risks that are out there. And again, look, Keith, I've always said it. I feel we live in a safe community, and, you know, the people of our community do so much to help each other. And I say it as something I've said to you previously. When I look at the young people in our community, I see such positivity. I see all the activity on sporting fields, all the voluntary work they do, all the charitable work they do, the transition year work they do. And I think there's so much good. But you've said it there, Keith, there are a very, very small number of people, and it's sad to think of the impact and the breadth of impact they have. And I think, you know, it. You know, I'm talking even about single digits in terms of the people. But unfortunately, you know, their impact, and we are all concerned, I think everyone is concerned, that this will go to a point where unfortunately there will be tragedy. And nobody wants that. So again, I would ask people particularly to work with the Gardaí. If there is information that you have or that you think could be in any way helpful to any Garda, any Garda investigation, that you provide the Gardaí with that. One thing that I think we need to reinitiate again, Keith, throughout the city, is the whole issue of the whole activity of community alert, our neighbourhood watch. And again, it's just the idea is that people are being vigilant, being proactive, making sure that, you know, that any activity that they are of concern about, that they would advise Gardaí and advise neighbours of. But, you know, this trend of hearing of firearms being discharged within our communities is a worry.
It's a huge worry, so it is. And all you want is that firearm to go the wrong way and a child or somebody gets hurt from there. And again, I looked at the videos just again before coming on air this morning. And there's one very poignant one where you have all of this melee going on between grown men, some with balaclavas, others with shorts on them, and old enough to have flipping common sense if they ever have it. And then in the midst of it, you've got a female who obviously has come out of a house or otherwise found herself in the middle of it and is running for her life. She shouldn't have to do that.
Nobody. Everyone should be safe in the community. Everyone should feel safe in the community. I find it frustrating at times, Keith, actually, that, you know, when instances like this occur, people, you know, they look to the local authority and the members of the local authority to provide assurance and guidance. And policing isn't a function that's directly under our jurisdiction. But I suppose as leaders in the community, we must come out and speak strongly against such activity. We must advise the community that we stand with them. We must actually do, Keith, whatever the local authority can do. And I think, going back to the point I made there of engaging our young people in positive activity, we must try insofar as we can to support the community and voluntary groups that are putting activities, are organising activities for young people. And I think we need to get the best out of young people. But certainly, we don't want to see situations, as you described there, where a woman feels her life is at risk by activity that's happening around her. Yeah, which she has no part to play in.
Yeah, and now is the time to break this cycle. If it's to go to the next generation, the young people that you're talking about, break this cycle now. Lock these people up, find out who they are, get them before the courts, let the courts determine, and move on then from there and try and live in peace and harmony. But maybe that's an ideal world I'm talking about. Councillor John Connolly, thank you for joining us today on the programme. Your thoughts and comments, please. And you can text us and WhatsApp us to 086 38 33 553. With thanks to the wonderful team in Rationale Windows. That's 086 38 33 553. With thanks to the team in Rationale Windows and Doors as well. Quick commercial break. We're back just after these. How do you fancy winning a home?
Galway Talks, in association with Tesco. Click and collect allows you to collect your order whenever suits you.
Hey, very good morning to you. Welcome in to today's program. Now, Win a Home in Galway, it's a fundraiser which has been launched tonight at 8 o'clock in the Loughrea Hotel and Spa. And the first prize, by the way, of this is a stunning new apartment in Salt Hill worth €300,000. I'm joined on the line, so I am at this stage, by Galway Chair, Chairperson Paul Bellew, who joins me. Paul, morning to you.
Morning, Keith. How are you doing?
Good. And Mark Gotcha is there as well from headquarters in Pier Stadium. Mark, morning to you. Mark, there I do. Mark, can you hear me okay there? Seem to have a problem with Mark there. I will see, can we get him up on a different line? Paul, I'm going to stay with you, though, if you don't mind. The GA are launching their Win a Home fundraiser this evening. This comes on the back of a very successful one for Castlegar. Is that where you got the idea from?
It does indeed. Ourselves and Castlegar had the same idea, Keith, same concept around the same time, and obviously secured the properties. Castlegar went out ahead and went first, which made sense from a club perspective. We weren't in as much of a rush. So very much a similar idea at the same time, and I think it was important maybe to give a bit of space between both. Obviously, as a county, we have a lot of capacity, and I think we wanted to do it as well in line with the intra-county games, Keith. So our plan was always to go in the summer, but they made a massive success of theirs, and we've had the benefit of learning from that. So we're ready to go now, and very excited about it and its potential for Galway.
So John Conn, you'll be your executive on this one, keeping an eye on things, because they will have learned a lot about the process.
Absolutely, that is totally correct. I mean, we've engaged with them, they've been very helpful to us, and you do go through the process. We've similar people involved as well, and you know, especially with all the online element and all that goes into getting it up and running, that's all been completed. Great work, Mark and Mike Burke are leading out on this, and they've all the hard work done it in consultation with all the people that know what to do. So we can't have any excuses on that front. We have a big club element to it as well, Keith. you know, we want to reward the clubs and this, and that's what the launch tonight in the Loughrea Hotel and Spa is about, is a give back to the clubs in many ways that we incentivize them. We're not mandating the clubs to buy tickets like other counties have done. That's not the route we're going to go. We're going to incentivize them by removing some levies that were placed when times weren't so good in Galway, and I think it's only fair now it's time to give back. As I said, Mark and Mike have us in a really good position, but this is about, I said it before, Keith, we're standing up now on our own 2 feet after the last 2 years, but this is really now to stand up straight and put the chest out and be able to plan into the future from a facilities perspective.
Absolutely. Mark joins you on the line now, though. Mark, morning to you.
Morning, Keith. How are things?
Good. How much money would you like to make from this, or have you thought that far ahead yet?
Obviously, like, we're hoping to make a good success of it. The license is to sell 20,000 tickets. Obviously, we know what other counties have sold in their recent draws, such as Waterford. So we'll be looking to do similar to that. And as Paul touched on there, we're looking to invest in our county grounds, and that's the four plus Loch George, Duggan Park, Kenny Park, Tomb Stadium and Pierce Stadium. So we have projects in mind for all of those, and all the money raised in this will be geared towards delivering on those projects, which will be a boost to both county players and the club players when we play our club championship games in those grounds.
So the launch then, Mark, is tonight in the Loughrea Hotel. It's about 8 o'clock. So are you hoping that most clubs will be represented there?
Yeah, we've invited all clubs to attend and to outline the incentives and initiatives there for them. And we hope that all attend and take up the options. I suppose in the long run, it's beneficial to the clubs to get their levies removed, because they'll end up saving money in the long run. And there's also other initiatives there that, by promoting the online option to buy tickets, that there will be a share of a prize fund there to the clubs at the end of the day.
And Paul, do you see it being a huge success? I mean, when the previous one was done for Castlegar, was done fairly well in winter coming into spring. Is there an appetite during this warm weather for a project like this?
I think there is, and I think initially, even in the last few days, we've only kicked off with the advertising online, and there's been a very good response so far. But I think there is, and I think that's probably the ask from us as well in Galway. You know, we're kind of looking for that backing. I think, as I said, the trust element is there in Galway GAA. I've emphasised a few times, Keith, we're a dual county that has the same aspirations both in hurling and football. You know, there's a lot of people going to have a good summer ahead. We had a tough day in Croke Park for a while yesterday, but back in a Leinster final, we're going very well in the football. We have an All-Ireland Minor Hurling final next Sunday in Thurles. So I am very positive in that regard. I think this is an option for people that, you know, follow the teams and can contribute in some ways. We've had huge success with our corporate fundraiser in terms of Winter na Gáileamh. We've 35 companies that were, a lot of them never involved with Galway before, signed up, and that's one area of it. But this is for, I suppose, the average puncher that can get behind us. So we would be hopeful. I think there's goodwill out there. I think it's summer, the teams are going well. So we will be very confident that the county will get behind it.
Absolutely. How would you respond, Paul, to this? Keith, I'm sick listening to the GAA trying to make money. Surely they have enough with all the big concerts in Croke Park. Fair play to Donal Cusack for speaking his mind. It's a gravy train that needs to stop. That's okay at national level, but that doesn't filter down to you in Galway.
No, it doesn't. And look, there's lots of people that views they're entitled to them. All we can do is the facts of what we're doing here. As I said, we cater for over 32,000 or 33,000 members in Galway. You know, the amount of development teams we have going, and again, I emphasise the dual element. As Mark will always point out, we're not a profit-making organisation. We're an organisation that pumps all the money we get back into the system to run it, you know. And I think that's our position. And I think putting our teams out to the level that they're doing, that doesn't happen by accident. To have four county grounds and Loch George, and to run them, who are used by club players and bring great benefit to their communities and around the county, that's where it all goes. As I said, there's nobody doing very well out of this on an individual basis, that's for sure. It is all for the greater good. It is all reinvested. You know, national is a different argument, and that's probably for a different day, but we're focused on Galway, and it's very clear about where it's going, and I think that's very open and transparent over the last few years, again, with the job that Mark and Mike have done. So you'll always have views like that, but we're open to take any questions, and that's where it's going, is to the good of Galway.
Mark, again, I mean, God, you've seen both sides, but you need this money. The local GAA need this money and need to make money on this draw.
Yeah, well, we need it to deliver on the infrastructure projects we planned. It's a fabulous prize. I just drove in the prom there this morning with the sun shining, past the apartment building, and it's a fantastic location. I'd like to live there myself if I wasn't so involved in organising it. We do need the money to deliver the project. It's a long-held ambition. We set it to the ASC convention last year about delivering floodlights for Pierce Stadium. That's probably the biggest capital element of it. And the recent announcement there for the works in Tuam Stadium. And then obviously we've worked in the pipeline for Kenny Park and Duggan Park as well. So, like Paula said there, it's all going back into the system and being reinvested into our grounds.
So then, Mark, does it mean that Mike Burke, your wonderful treasurer and colleague, that he'll be selling tickets in the Pierhead in Kinvara then? Is that the plan, Mark and Paul?
There will be physical tickets available through county board officers and that, but we'd be encouraging as many people to just log on to winahomegalway.com and you can buy your tickets there. You can select your local club. If you're not a member of the club, you can select the club in the area you live, and they'll benefit as well from the ticket being bought.
Okay, but there will be physical tickets available through some clubs as well for the older people.
Like me.
Mark, thanks. I'm going to let you back to the books there because you're trying to balance them, so you are. Paul, just in relation to that, I mean, there will be physical tickets as well as the online stuff.
There will, yeah. There is a portion of it, about 20% will be done physically. And again, a lot of that through the clubs. And as you're right, people want to be able to buy that way as well, Keith. You know, everything in the GAA lately is a lot online, and that creates its own problems. But no, there will be options for to buy the physical ticket also, yes.
Yeah. Were you in Crow Park yesterday? I mean, it was a rough day, but look, the outcome is the most important.
It was. I think the first half was a bit surreal. And, you know, I think the main thing is we learned the lessons from it, because if we do that at any other stage with the teams left, you wouldn't really be getting back into it. But credit to them, this hurling team over the last few years, I've said it before, they've never lost a game by more than 3 points. And they've always rallied and came back. And to come back from 12 points was fantastic. It's done. Learn from it. Move on. We're playing Kilkenny in 2 weeks' time in Crow Park with a chance to win silverware for the first time in 5 years. And we always take the positive, Keith, and we drive on and hopefully a less stressful day out in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, the unfortunate Galway minor footballers, they were unlucky though to lose to Mayo in the Connacht final on Friday as well.
They were, and got caught by two goals in a very short space of time. They're still in the competition. They lost the final last year in Connacht and went on to win the All-Ireland. So we'd be we wouldn't be too upset at this stage. You know, it is a long competition, so they're out again in 2 weeks. And of course, the minor hurlers are in Thurles next Sunday, and I'd love to see great support down there for them. It's a double header with the under 20. We're going to have Clare, Offaly, Cork and Galway down in Thurles, probably on a day like today in terms of weather. A chance to win a minor title for the first time in a couple of years again after winning the Leinster Championship, and I'd love to see as many Galway supporters as possible get out and support them. It's tough, Keith. We've played 48 inter-county games this year, so it's not easy on patrons, don't get me wrong. They've a lot to fork out for in Galway if you follow both. But as I said, it's an All-Ireland final on next Sunday, and if they could get out and support the lads, it would be brilliant.
And all roads are leading to Mullingar on Saturday as the senior footballers take on Westmeath as well.
Yeah, again, all going very well there. The Tyrone win was huge because we've seen every other team that won their provincial final either drew or lost their first game with the new system. So fair play to Park and the lads. They've booked the trend there. A win next week would really put us in a great position to maybe go through on top of the group. So we're shaping up for a very, very busy June, and hopefully a very successful one. And look, it brings a great buzz around the place. It's great to be talking about it. You look at Cork going out of the hurling yesterday, you know, I can imagine the disappointment down there and Wexford. So we've a lot of irons in the fire, and let's make make the most of it.
All right. Well, if they want to get further details on Win a Home Galway, the fundraising event has been launched tonight, 8 o'clock in the Loughrea Hotel and Spa. First prize is a new stunning apartment in Salt Hill worth over 300,000. And it looks absolutely gorgeous. It's kind of funny that Mark wouldn't mind living there if he wasn't working so hard on selling these. But again, if anybody wants to get further details, it's a Loughrea Hotel and Spa tonight. Paul and Mark, thanks for joining us today on the programme. And well done to all involved in that. So again, quite simply, Win a Home Galway. Just Google it and you can do it online from there. Quick commercial break and we're back just after these.
Galway Tolls, in association with Tesco. Find our award-winning Irish ranges in store and online at tesco.ie.
Good morning to you now, Keith. Good morning. Disappointing that there's been no mention by you today of the great hurlers that represented Galway in the All-Ireland final of the Celtic Challenge on Saturday, losing out to a tip team. Well done to all involved in that. I know the lads in sport, because I was listening right through the weekend, they really and truly did a Trojan job over the weekend on keeping everything covered, including the Celtic Challenge as well. So there you go. Last week on the programme, on Friday morning, I was asking you, if at all possible, could you make your way on Sunday to the Agricultural College of Montbellier to donate some blood? I want to go to Carmel McNamara, who's the area manager for the Irish Blood Transfusion Service, and she joins me on the line today. Carmel, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith. Good morning to all of your listeners.
Thanks for joining us today on the programme. You need blood. Are you in very short supply?
We're currently in very short supply. Yes, we are indeed. We just have 3 days across all the different blood groups. So we're just appealing to people to come in and donate at their local clinics. We need about 2,000 extra units between now and the end of June, just to maintain our stocks and maintain the supplies.
2,000 units is a lot of units, isn't it? That's 2,000 donations.
Yeah, it's 2,000 on top of 3,000 a week. Now, that's across the board. It's not just in Tuam. I'm in the Tuam centre, but we have centres in Dublin, Carlow, Limerick, RD. So it's 2,000 over. We collect 3,000 a week, but we need 2,000 on top of that over the next, we'll say, 5 weeks.
Isn't 3,000 a week a huge volume as well? I mean, just shows how much
it is quite
blood is needed.
Yeah, it is quite a sufficient amount of blood, but we've been maintaining it, or normally we would maintain it over, with all the different centres, we would all collect between us, we collect 3,000 units, and that would have been sustaining the blood supply in the past. But we've just recently now, we've found that, I think that since COVID, we weren't allowed, during COVID, we had issues where we couldn't recruit new donors. So there is a natural attrition, so donors can't donate. We lose donors from our panel because of illness, age, one thing and another. And because of COVID, we were very lucky. Our regular donors, we still needed a blood supply and our regular donors came in all the time, but we were limited in the amount of new donors we could recruit. We couldn't go to colleges, we couldn't go to industrial venues, and there would be where we would recruit most of our first-time donors. And because of that, we couldn't recruit them because of COVID. So we're kind of noticing that now, and I think as well, we do know that the issues have increased in hospitals because everything is back now and everything, cancer treatment, most of our blood would go for cancer treatment and that. So it has ramped up. And unfortunately, when I started in this job over 20 years ago, 1 in 4 Irish people got cancer. Now it's down to 1 in 2, I think, so it's a huge amount of blood that we need to treat all of our cancer patients. And thank God, we've been able to do it and, continue to do it. But for the moment, we're just short. And with exams and the fine weather, it does impact on our clinic attendances. And we're just grateful if people would be mindful of the need for blood. It's constant. It has a shelf life of 45 days, and thanks to God, we don't have to worry about that at the moment. Just to be mindful of coming into us, and we'd really appreciate as many people, and new donors, we're looking for new donors all the time, you know.
And do new donors have to register in advance? They just can't rock up on the day, can they?
Well, all of our clinics are by appointment now. We introduced an appointment system over COVID, and we've been working on our website, and we will eventually, like, it's actually going to come in the very near future, where people will be actually able to go online into what we call a donor portal and make appointments themselves. First-time donors, generally, if they phone our 1800-222-111, it's a free phone number. If they phone that, we can make an appointment for them. We also have a register of interest on our website, so they can register their interest on our website, and we will contact them then prior to a clinic in our area with the opportunity, you know, to contact us, and we can make an appointment for them to come in and donate.
We're getting, somebody just said here, Keith, are diabetics able to give blood?
It just depends. It depends on the medication or the treat, you know, it depends on the person. If they're insulin dependent, no. And it just depends on what medications they're on, how long they've been diagnosed. They're just issues that, just different things that need to kind of speak to one of our nurses. And they would ask, you know, if they phone 1800-222-111, and, you know, we'll just get a picture on how, you know, what kind of diabetes they have and what treatment they're on.
Yeah. And are there any other situations where one cannot donate blood, somebody wants to say?
There are short-term deferrals, there's like temporary deferrals, and then of course there's permanent deferrals. Our website again, giveblood.ie, I don't want to go into kind of all the medical aspects that would prevent one from donating on air, but our website again, giveblood.ie, would answer, you know, a lot of those questions, and also the 1800, the 222-111, if they have any other queries, they can ring that.
Giveblood.ie is one, and then 1800-222-111 from there.
Yes.
When you say you're based in Tuam, then have you a walk-in centre in Tuam?
No, we don't. Our mobile unit is based, our head office, our office is in Tuam, and we travel from Tuam. We don't have a mobile, and we don't take blood on site, and we travel out to Galway, to Sligo. We go as far as Longford, Athlone, Gort. We do all of the west, really, would be under the west. We go Gort is as far south as we go, and Carrig and Shannon probably will be as far north as we go, and Longford is as far west or east as we go.
And can I ask,
but we travel from Tuam.
And how many teams then under the western region then would you have on the road, and would they all be Galway based?
We would have just one team, and we would be Galway, as in Galway County and Mayo mostly based, and some from Roscommon.
It's a fair amount of work for one team, isn't it?
It is. We have 33 venues, and we cover our 33 venues. You know, it's a 90-day rotation, so you have to allow 90 days in between donations just to build your haemoglobin levels up. So we kind of rotate 90 days between all the different areas.
Wow. It really is. So when you look under the hood of the Irish Blood Transfusion Service, it just sees how much work goes into it, for the sake of other people and to keep blood. Because without blood, people die, and that's what you don't want to happen here. Our operations are suspended, or the person's treatment is suspended because of the shortage of blood. So we don't want that to happen. Can I ask you, how did the Agricultural College of Mount Bellew do on Sunday?
We did well there yesterday, and we had 70 donations, so we did quite well considering that it was a fine day and there were hurling matches and one thing and another on, and exams, etc., people preparing for exams, etc., and that. So we were happy with the turnout. We had 70 donations there yesterday, so we were quite pleased with it.
Yeah, somebody else just said here, can you please ask Carmel, I lived in England from 85 to 90, can I donate blood?
You can now, yes, you can, provided you meet all the other requirements, all the other criteria is okay, you can. That deferral is gone now. It was kind of based on scientific evidence. We were monitoring it, and we were able to take the deferral off.
And that was for medical reasons, obviously.
Sorry, there's something passing outside. Sorry.
That's all right. Sure,
for the noise.
As long as they're not coming, trying to go in and make a donation of blood to you, that's the most important thing, Carmel and Jim. But I mean, so that deferral of 85-90, that's gone. So if somebody lived, they can now go and donate blood.
They can, yeah. Yeah, it was from, yeah, that deferral is gone now, so they can donate, provided they meet all the other criteria. You know, there may be other reasons they can't donate.
Yeah.
But they don't need to worry about the English deferral,
But if they're worried about that, just go to giveblood.ie. I have it open in front of you here, and it's fairly simple. You can do it on your phone, and you can find out then if it. And if you take, there is a questionnaire that you can take as well, and that'll fairly well give you details as to whether you can or you can't.
Yeah, that's right. The eligibility quiz. And as I said, then if it does throw other questions up, you can always ring the 1800 number.
Somebody else just said, I had yellow jaundice as a child. Can I still give blood?
Generally, you can if you had it before your 13th birthday.
So you'll have to go back and get details on that. And I just, 5 years ago, I had a quadruple bypass. Am I still allowed to give blood?
No.
Okay.
No, not after that major heart surgery, because it's just when you give the blood, the donation of... The unit of blood is taken away from you in 5 to 10 minutes, so it would be kind of, it wouldn't be advisable. And also, I'm not sure, they possibly might be on blood thinners and things like that, so you can't give blood if you're on blood thinners.
Okay.
Or warfarin.
I can't get over the amount of blood that you need on an ongoing basis, but I take it, you said it, the majority was going to cancer patients. And God love them. If the blood's not there, then it stalls their treatment and stalls their next phase. Plus also operations, if people are going for an operation and they may need blood, I mean, and they've built themselves up over years for this operation and the blood's not there. Has it ever come to a crisis situation where you've had to say, sorry guys, we just don't have blood today?
No, thankfully that hasn't happened. We've been able to import blood from the UK. Now, we had a few, just a few occasions there where if we didn't, we had to import 150 units on, I think it was 3 separate occasions of negative groups. And had we not done that, we probably would have found ourselves in the position where we wouldn't have had blood for our Irish patients in hospitals. So thankfully, we've never had a position where we wouldn't. If someone needs the blood, it's there, and it's, you know, we issue blood 24/7.
Would you have to pay for those 150 units?
We would have, yeah. We would have. But we have an arrangement kind of with them, and we have something in place like that. If anything ever happened that they needed it, it would work both ways, you know. Mm. Had we got the stocks that we could give them, you know, it would work both ways. So we kind of have an arrangement that, you know, there is kind of a blood alliance between Northern Ireland and the UK, Wales and Ireland, that, you know, if there was a major disaster in either of our countries and we needed... we needed to help each other out, we have an arrangement in place. So that's more or less what happened on those occasions.
And then can you charge the hospitals for the blood in question to cover some of the running costs of...
We do. There is a fixed price. It's a set price on it, on the blood that we issue to the hospitals. Yeah, there is a fixed price, obviously.
But if you didn't do that, they wouldn't have the blood.
Well, it helps in the running costs. It helps in, you were saying, we cover a lot of ground. We'll say just the team in Connacht, the team based in Tuam. We have a team based in Carlow, a team based in RD, a team based in Limerick. So they would all travel their general areas, probably a 60-mile radius from the base to collect blood. So there would be a serious amount of running costs. Obviously, we hire venues, so we pay the hotels for the use of their space and halls, GA halls, community halls, etc. Yeah. We pay for the use of them.
And just finally then, Cameron, per head of population then, are there more people donating in the UK, or is it just the population centres that they have versus Ireland? I mean, should more people per head of capita be donating blood in Ireland?
I think probably more people are eligible to donate than are donating. I can't answer that, you know, I couldn't answer that question about the UK because I really wouldn't have the figures for what happens there. I just know here that, you know, a lot of people don't. And it's not that they you know, it's not that they don't want to, it's just that they don't really think about it unless it's something, it's a kind of a personal thing. And a lot of us, you know, I started donating myself because my mother received blood when I was a young child. So a lot of people don't think about donating blood unless they come across the need for it. You know, they have someone in hospital, a relative who has to receive a transfusion, and then it kind of dawns on them. And likewise, you know, maybe if we go into the college, then they'll think about it. Or if we go into the, you know, we're going into Boston Scientific soon, we're going into Medtronic in October. So when we go into their places of work, then they think about it and look it up, okay. You know, because unless you've experienced someone, a relative close to you who has received a blood transfusion, it's not something really that would be on your radar, and that unless that has happened to you and unless there is promotion done. And I suppose it's a very personal thing to actually go and give a blood donation, but it is very rewarding. You feel great after it. You know that you're doing something good for someone. You know that you are enhancing a life or saving a life, and you really feel good after it.
Two very quick questions, because I'm running very tight now. Had antibodies 10 years ago, not allowed to give blood since. Am I allowed now?
Again, you'd have to ring up for that, because I wouldn't be able to tell you off, you know, the top of my head, not knowing the name and, you know, who the person is or anything like that. But our doctors would be able to investigate that, or our nurses for them.
Why can you not give blood if you had a transfusion after 1980? I had one postnatal in 1984.
It's scientific, really. It's a clinical thing. It's to just break the cycle. It's to prevent, you know, you may have made antibodies against that blood, or you may have, you know, done something like that, you know, something that we don't know how this blood has reacted. So you may have made antibodies that may not affect you, but if you passed on the blood, if we were to pass it on, it could be, you know, deemed not, it may not be good for the patient who receives it. Again, scientifically, there is a scientific basis on it that I am not, you know, I'm not a doctor or a scientist, so I couldn't fully explain that, but there is a kind of a scientific rationale for it.
All right, Carmel McNamara, Area Manager with the Blood Transfusion Service Board, giveblood.ie or 1800 222 111. And please, tomorrow they're going to be in the Shearwater Plaza Hotel in Ballinasloe from 3:50 p.m. until 8:10 p.m. and they need as many people as possible to go along to the Shearwater Plaza tomorrow.
Galway Talks, in association with Tesco. Click and collect allows you to collect your order whenever suits you.